Welcome to the American Med Spa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, AmSpa founder Alex Tiersch is in conversation with Dr. Annie DePasquale, founder of Collaborating Docs.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Medical Spa Insider. This is Alex Tiersch. I am the founder and CEO of AmSpa, and this is our podcast. And we are very excited today to be talking to Dr. Annie DePasquale, who is the founder and head of Collaborating Docs, which I think is a company that is not only in aesthetics, but after looking at it and talking to my team, I know I've had some conversations with Dr. Annie and your team. It is a really, really cool concept, and I love it because it's innovative, it's different, and the whole idea is to help nurse practitioners and their collaborating doctors to get together. So they help nurse practitioners find doctors. They help doctors find nurse practitioners. We're going to get into all of that. And I think you're really going to enjoy this. For those of you who are NPs out there or physicians, this is going to be very helpful to you. We are, just as a quick housekeeping matter, it is close to the end of February. We're about 7 weeks from Medical Spa Show, which is our big conference in Las Vegas, April 11th through 14th. For those of you who want to come, please, please, please do register as soon as you can, because we are going to sell out. This thing is going fast. We are also, all of our classes are filling up. So we really encourage you, if you want to get in to sign up right away, because we want to make sure all of you can go. And we are limited in space this year at the Wynn. But in any event, enough about me. Dr. DePasquale, can I call you Dr. Annie, or is that
Dr. Annie's great. Yeah, thank you. Annie's
great. I don't know why, it just kind of rolls off the tongue. I as we were talking a little bit before we started recording, I'm really interested in what you're doing. I kind of went down a rabbit hole and started looking at your website and started following some of the different things that you all do. And then I started thinking of all the different ways that we could talk. And it's such an important issue, because nurse practitioners are so needed and collaborating physicians are so needed. Connecting them is often difficult. Let's just kind of start from the beginning. And I know you're a board certified family practice physician, I believe. And just tell me a little bit about how you got started, and then what was the impetus and the genesis behind you forming this company?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for having me, Alex. The business really started very organically. I was practicing at a federally qualified health center in Washington, D.C. for many years after residency. And quite a few nurse practitioners approached me that I met at different networking events, saying, hey, I need a collaborator. You know, do you do that? And at the time, I actually knew not too much about that. In Washington, D.C., nurse practitioners are independent fully. So I worked with a lot of nurse practitioners, but no oversight or supervision or anything was required. So it was mostly people I met. I live in Virginia, across the bridge from D.C. So in Virginia, it is required. So I was meeting people that were telling me I'm starting a small med spa, or I'm doing primary care, whatever they were doing, but I do need a physician legally to practice in Virginia. So I was kind of introduced to this whole world I knew nothing about, but I really like it. I actually was a elementary school teacher before I went to med school, so I love teaching.
I love perfect for med spas.
It's perfect. Yeah. Well, it's fun to be someone's support person, you know, someone to call when you have a question or need clinical advice. It's always nice. So I guess that's what got me into collaborating. And then from getting to know the people I was helping, I learned that it's a kind of a wild west out there. There are a lot of physicians that sort of prey on nurse practitioners looking for supervision, like, well, I'll do it, but give me, you know, half your profit, or give me $3,000 a month. It's like, well, wait a sec. I'm not even, you know, I'm not going to do that. So I thought, well, maybe I can connect people with other physicians I know and trust who are like upstanding people, just nice, normal doctors who would be happy to help others. Mm-hmm. So from a handful of friends, you know, colleagues of mine, it's grown. Now we have over 1,500 doctors, and we've helped over 3,500 nurse practitioners get connected to them. So it's really grown quite a lot in 3.5 years.
That's amazing. So you started 3.5 years ago. That's when you started the company. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. Good for you. First of all, I have to ask though, how did you go from being an elementary school teacher to med school? Like, I mean, I guess I kind of see it, but I don't see it at the same time.
Right. It is a bit of a leap, I would say. I studied piano performance in college. I thought
that's the missing link right there. Gotcha.
That's the part that, right. Yeah. Makes it even more confusing, but I thought I wanted to be a musician. A lot of times musicians become teachers, mm-hmm. because that's, you know, solid paycheck. And you can do gigs and other things after hours. But I really loved, I was teaching through Teach for America. So I was in a very, very low income neighborhood in Baltimore City. Very unique neighborhood. The children all lived walkable to the school. There was no busing. Mm-hmm. Everyone lived. It was a housing project. And all the children went to this elementary school right in the center of it. And I loved my students. I loved working there. But I did feel like I perhaps could make a better or bigger impact in another sort of way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bureaucracy, as we all know, in public school systems, and I wasn't able to really enact change that I was looking to make. So I thought maybe I'd have a stronger voice going back to school and coming back to serve in a different manner. And I didn't go back to that exact neighborhood, Baltimore, but I did serve in a lot of very low income areas in DC for most of my practicing medicine career. So,
wow. Now, did you always want to be a doctor? I mean, did you say, I can help more, so I'm just going to choose medicine, or how'd you fall into being a doctor?
Not at all. No one in my family is in nursing or medicine or anything related to healthcare. So, it was quite a foreign concept. I sort of volunteering at a hospital in Baltimore and then a clinic. I just sort of intrigued me. I guess I love learning and like figuring things out. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just see what that's like. So I did that in the evenings after my teaching job. And I thought, wow, this actually is pretty interesting. So I took some science classes and just I will be the first to say I got a C in organic chemistry. And my advisor said, you can't apply to medical school with a C. And I said, well, I don't really care. I'll just try anyway. And I got in. So even if you have a C out there, you can get into med school.
C's get degrees. Wow, that's interesting. So yeah, it's kind of an uncommon path, right? To becoming a physician. I would say it's an even more uncommon path to getting even tangentially into the aesthetic industry, which is such a different, unique industry. I'm curious. So after you started collaborating docs, was aesthetics one of your, in med spas, one of your target markets from the beginning, or is it something that you learned about as you went and then just kind of got into?
It was definitely a top market for us right away, only because I was already helping a few people who were doing aesthetics in Virginia. And I could see how that model was very conducive, especially for nurse practitioners wanting to start their own thing, their own practice. Mm-hmm. It could be anything from that small side gig on Saturday mornings to a part-time thing like after work at the hospital, or it could be your full-time, I'm going to have an entire med spa and run it myself. So I think it gives that flexibility, obviously, like having a cash-based practice, having recurring regular income. I mean, it's so favorable from like a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. The people I was helping as their collaborator who did that were wildly more successful than the ones who had an urgent care or a primary mm-hmm. care office where it's, we all know it's mm-hmm. just, it's very hard to make that profitable. So I definitely, yes. We target people who want to get into aesthetics because it's such a great path.
Yeah. Interesting. No, it's so true. And for those of you who are listening out there as an NP or becoming an NP, you heard it here first. Dr. Annie said, the ones in aesthetics are making a lot more money than in other places. It's also a fun business, truly.
Absolutely. I mean, I made a video recently, it's on our YouTube, about, you know, what are the top three practice types you should consider as a nurse practitioner. And I said, number one, like by far, is doing aesthetics. So
really,
I've been on the record. You can find the video. It is the truth.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All that paperwork is gone.
It is.
Disability forms.
it's so neat, you know, and this is a little bit off topic and we'll get back, but we, you know, one of the things that we're always discussing is that there is a lack of providers in medical aesthetics, not just NPs, but also RNs, PAs, doctors. And we're always trying to find and locate some of these NPs as they're coming up, because what we found, and maybe you've heard this as well, they don't really talk much about aesthetics in NP school or when they're doing their boards. Same with PAs and even physicians, unless you get into, directly to aesthetics, like through plastic surgery. So we're really trying to reach these folks. I'm curious, do you see that as well? And what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It as a family physician going through my training, I mean, it was never on my radar. It's not something really talked ever about. And then, yes, talking to nurse practitioners all day, every day for the last 3.5 years, it definitely does not seem like it's really on people's radar as much as it really should hopefully be. I know what AmSpa does is getting a lot of the word out, but if people aren't tuned into the right thing, they may miss that. So yeah, I would highly encourage people in NP school or PA school or, you know, just getting going to really take a look at that, because talk about, you know, sort of finding the right niche that will lead to long-term career happiness and wellness. You know, majority of my colleagues, both doctors and nurse practitioners in the family practice realm, are completely burnt out. So, you know, that's something we're all combating, but I don't think I know anyone doing medical aesthetics is burnout. So I think, you know, that's something really to consider.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of the process for your company. I think it's again, it's a really cool concept. It's very much needed. Let's talk about it from the physician standpoint though, first, because I don't know if you knew this, but according to the data that we collect, the first of all, physicians who are not plastic surgeons or derms, who kind of traditionally started the industry, are now, they far outnumber physicians who are derms and plastics. So the number one type of physician that comes into us to medical spas is family practice, followed closely by emergency room doctors. And then, you know, we get into things like anesthesia, and it's the same thing you hear all the time, is they're burned out. They want to have their own brand, their own career, or not. They just want to be able to kind of have more control over their schedule and make money. So talking about it from the physician standpoint, I know of a lot of NPs who are trying to find collaborating docs. What's the pain point that these physicians are feeling, and what are you trying to solve for them, and how does the process work?
Sure. Yes. So on the physician end of things, since I was in those shoes 5 to 10 years ago when I was doing it sort of on my own, you know, having to go and find clients that need your help, even though there are many, many out there, it's actually hard to find them. You know, there's not like a centralized place database. So this is where you go if you need a doctor. So the doctors know where to go. It's not that simple. So you know, having a platform that sort of brings the clients to you can be very, very helpful. Also physicians, as most people, worry about like liability and legalities and regulations and compliance. So, you know, having a company backing you or, you know, helping you navigate all of that,
And how do you do that? I saw that and I saw your video on that. Yeah. You say compliance, it gets everybody at AmSpa all hot and bothered because we love compliance. But it's cool that you've kind of taken that away. What do you offer to these physicians to make, you know, the compliance journey, the insurance journey, all that stuff a little bit easier?
We learned very early on, really day one. I mean, we had lawyers before we had clients. We had lawyers before we had doctors. you know, lawyers are a necessary and wonderful part of this.
Thank you. Go on.
No, I mean, our whole business, actually, when I was first talking to some friends of mine about starting the business, like 4 years ago, one of them said, I'll give you one piece of advice right now. You need to partner with a lawyer. You should really go into this with a lawyer to set this whole thing up. And actually, if I'd taken that advice, I would have paid a lot fewer legal bills. But I did it alone, but not without the help of lawyers. So, you know, we now actually have grown. So we have like our own in-house legal team that keeps on top of all the regulations because they change all the time and they don't announce it very clearly sometimes when there's a change or at all. Right.
Right.
So it's complicated, but luckily having a whole team keeping an eye on it, we stay up to date.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. That's awesome. So tell me how it, like, how does it work? If I'm an NP or a physician for that matter, let's say I'm an NP in Virginia and I want to open a med spa practice, or I'm a med spa and I want to hire an NP who then needs a collaborating physician. What's the process? What do you provide? What's your services? What are your services? And then, and how does it, what's kind of the process for putting these two different groups together?
Yes. Yeah, so really the process starts with a Zoom video call with one of our nurse practitioner onboarding team members. We have 7 full-time nurse practitioners right now who help get people onboarded. So it's a nice casual conversation, you know, tell me about what you're doing or trying to do, what's your background, experience, all the nitty gritty, what hours are you working, where are you working, all that, so that we can collect that data to find the perfect match, physician match for that person. So we even get to know their personality. We get to know, you know, what are they looking to get out of their collaborator? Some want almost no contact. Others say, I want to talk every single day. So it's sort of like, we really have to have that face-to-face conversation to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So that happens then when we get the green light that the client wants to move forward. We basically, our internal matchmaking team gets started. It's not a computer algorithm. It is not a database. I mean, we have physicians sure. we use, but we do go outside of that. Like if we just don't have someone that fits the bill, like, oh, this person mm-hmm. would do better with someone retired who has a lot of time on their hands and has done aesthetics 30 years. Like we ought to find that person in the state of whatever, mm-hmm. West Virginia. We don't really have someone. We'll go networking, you know, trying to find that person. So we really want this to be a long lasting thing for all parties involved. There's no sense in us matching you with someone we don't think you'll like, because in mm-hmm. 2 weeks you'll want someone else. So we're all about true matchmaking where you get your perfect match, not you get 20 choices and you know, pick one and then next week you want to switch to the next person. We really do a good job, and our matches stick at a very high rate for the long term because we are careful about it. What we include are kind of 3 basic things. The service is finding that perfect match, mm-hmm. but the second is that compliance. So we mm-hmm. give the legal agreement, we give the state guidance, and we also give the physicians their malpractice. Usually that falls on the nurse practitioner, but we cover the physician. I think it's because we're a physician-led company. I mm-hmm. know physicians care about that and making sure they have good coverage mm-hmm. and nothing can go wrong. We've never, knock on wood, used our plan for anyone ever, but mm-hmm. we have it. So it's there. And the third part is facilitation ongoing. So if your physician wants to retire, doesn't want to renew their license, gets sick, we've had doctors fall ill and mm-hmm. can't really help, give us a call. We have a client success team and we can get you a new doc almost always the same day or the next yeah. day, because we Ooh. Have a big roster. So you're never left like, oh, I can't see my patients because I don't have a doctor, you know, yeah. on the record here. So we're very cautious about staying connected and making sure our clients have what they need.
No, it's tricky. I've as in my former life, I call myself a recovering lawyer because I still have my license. I still can practice. I just don't do it very often anymore. But the negotiation process between sometimes NPs and physicians oftentimes was great and seamless and easy, but sometimes it wasn't, right? You get into things like money, benefits, insurance, all these, you know, cut of the business, who knows what it's going to be. How did the fees work? Do you have like a recommended fee schedule that you use, or how do you handle that part of it?
Yes, so on that initial video call we do provide what the actual quote will be for the service, because it really does depend on the answers we get about what the person is doing. The biggest differences are, you know, what the scope influences the fee structure, the location, because certain states have more requirements on the physician. Like in Tennessee, they have to have a monthly on-site in-person visit. So that if your doc lives 4 hours away, I mean, that's like a big thing to ask someone to do. So, so we give the quote there on the call, so everyone is very clear upfront what they're getting. And also the physician on that side knows exactly what they will be getting if they accept a client. So there's no, we just don't negotiate. That's the fee. And then we'll find a doctor that's comfortable with that fee, because we don't want to be going back and forth a million times. Like,
interesting. So it's like this, like here's an NP, here's kind of their bio qualifications. Here's what they're willing to pay. Are you in or you out, kind of thing?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Interesting.
And right now we're hovering around $1,000 a month for aesthetic based nurse practitioners. That's okay, we're right at the time of this recording. Can't say it won't change in the future, but.
No, I had that. That was my next question. because we've seen, you know, we go, again, it really depends. It depends on what they're doing, how often they're, you know, as far as chart review, on-site visits, on-site collaboration, all those things. That's super interesting. What you must have a, and I know you mentioned these numbers at the beginning, a fairly robust roster of physicians, because number one, most of the time you're going to have to find a licensed physician in that state. You're often going to have to find somebody who is close enough, right, to meet what, if there's distance requirements or if there's on-site requirements. Is that a challenge? And how are you going about like finding physicians for this?
We've done all sorts of crazy things, I'll say. I think I know every small town in the state of Mississippi by the back of my hand here. Parts of this country I knew very little about. Now I know a whole lot about. But
really? So are you actually going out and driving around finding these doctors?
I have not gone that far yet, but definitely have looked at maps to see all the time. I mean, that's almost a daily thing. Looking on a map, what are the little tiny towns near this, you know, particular nurse practitioner, and what physician might have a med spa 30 minutes down the road, and let's call him and I need to talk to him about this. So we do a lot of sort of grassroots investigation and then reach out. And luckily at the beginning, much, 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 much more difficult, because it was sort of just people I knew. And now it's nice that our physicians we're very particular who we take on. So if they've made it through our process of vetting, then we very much trust them and like them. So they often know the type of people we're looking for. So I can call upon a doc in Mississippi to say, well, do you have a colleague, you know, 2 miles north of you that does aesthetics? Oh, yeah, I do. Okay, great. So it's gone easier for us, thankfully, but not at the beginning. At the beginning, it was very, very hard.
I'll bet. Do the physicians who are part of the process, are they like paying a fee to be in your roster, or is it kind of come out of the transaction?
No. Yeah. We don't charge the doctor a fee at all. We keep about a small cut of what we collect for our overhead, but there's no like hidden thing for the doc, and any doc we're more than welcome. We do get, I'd say, a handful of emails every day of people saying, I'd be interested in helping you. So we don't take all comers. We definitely are pretty cautious about, we have a whole process of interviewing and background checking and things, but you know, we love people coming to us if they really like to teach and mentor and help. those are the docs we want.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. We're, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that we're seeing is through, you've got, you know, independent practice laws that are being passed all across the country, which are helpful and they're great, but they're still undefined a lot of times. And that the, you know, some of the medical boards don't really know how to deal with it quite yet. And we're dealing with that in a few states. Then you also have telemedicine, where you're seeing develop some of these larger kind of tech companies that are trying to do video consults with, you know, video collaboration, which, you know, has its, you know, its thorns as well. I mean, there's ups and downs to it. I like though, that, and this is nothing against what they're doing, but I like that this is a very personal touch. It's a one-on-one, like you're going to be paired with a collaborating physician who is, you know, going to help you, and sometimes face to face if need be. That's different because, you know, it's the way most of my recollection, the way most of the laws are written is, you know, the telemedicine part is there, but really they're written originally for this kind of face-to-face in-person collaboration. So I'm curious, what are you thinking about, you know, the way the industry is going, and are you worried about some of these tech companies competition and stuff like that?
You know, it's a tricky area, right? I mean, there sure. definitely is some great benefit to that in certain, you know, very remote and, you know, yeah. inaccessible areas, of course. But right, it can definitely be overused where it maybe shouldn't be used.
Yeah.
When I started the company, I was very particular about, I wanted to elevate what collaborating was, because it does get a pretty bad rap out there. Like, oh, my doc, you know, I pay him money, but he does nothing for me. Like, that is something I never wanted to hear about what we were offering. So we're very careful that a couple of things, I guess it's four, if I'm not mistaken, four things our docs must do. They must meet with their nurse practitioner monthly over video or in person. So they okay. have to meet face to face. And that's just to talk about how are things going? You know, what type of patients are you seeing?
Well, that's part of the collaborating piece, really. Right. I mean, that's kind of how the laws are designed. Yeah.
You have to actually communicate, although it's funny because some states, they leave it very unclear, like yep. what they don't spell out that you must meet. Anyone with yep. sense would say you yep. should,
yeah,
but they don't spell it out. So a lot of doctors just never meet or talk to anyone they're getting paid to help out in the real world. We make sure that happens. We require our doctors to review 10% of charts regardless. Most states don't specify an amount, or they'll just say yeah. a sampling. 10%, I think, gives you a good window into what's happening to be helpful. Like, oh, I see you do a lot of filler. You do a lot of this. And have you, you know, I have a rep over here that might help you get more of this or that, or you could try this, or there's this training, because now that you know how to do that, you could do this. So it's, I like personally reviewing, you know, 10% of charts. So I've made everyone do that. And then
no, I think that's great. That's great.
You have to be accessible during normal business hours, we say, over, you know, phone. So someone can call you or text you with an urgent, like, clinical question. There's no emergency in collaborating. It's an emergency, call 911. But if it's, you know, an interesting clinical thing you want to talk about, you should be able to talk about it and not wait 7 days to get an answer back.
Sure.
And last one is just any state, like, specific regulation. Obviously the doc has to do that. Some states have like those on-site visits and other
yeah.
strange.
Are you in all 50 states?
We are. Yep. We are.
Wow. So. What's the market like in Alaska?
Well, in Alaska, NPs are independent. So we really, I think we've had one client, because some people want a collaborator just to have like yeah. someone in their back pocket. So I think For we sure. have one in Alaska because it's not okay. really demanded, but yeah, Texas is our number one state.
Yes, ours too right now. California, Texas are the big ones. Texas has become kind of this hub for aesthetics lately. It's crazy. It's just blown up. What were you always an entrepreneur? Did you always want to start your own business? Was that kind of in your blood?
My father was an entrepreneur of mm-hmm. a sort. I never quite, he's one of those people the joke is, I don't quite know what he does, but he makes money talking to people and connecting people somehow. So in a weird way, unfortunately, my father passed away when I was much younger. So my cousin recently told me, you know, it's actually crazy. You've done something eerily similar to your father without you really ever understanding what he did. So maybe it's in my blood. Awesome. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so looking back when you were, you know, in Baltimore teaching inner city youth, did you ever think you'd be placing nurse practitioners who know how to do lip filler with physicians across the country?
No. While I, was every day screaming, losing my voice, trying to sing songs, yet there's mass chaos in my classroom. Yeah, I did not think this day would be coming. I do enjoy the tranquility of this. the decibel volume is a lot lower.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Was this the first business you started?
I did a few other things that were complete flops. I think the serial entrepreneur is in me, but you know, I think you learn from all those things, right? I can't even believe I developed this whole video series for women, like professional women trying to find love in all the wrong places. It was sort of my tagline. And I had a book and videos and training and consulting, and I only lost money on that venture. So, you know, but you learn a lot, you know, how to do marketing, how to sell things, how to talk to people and network. So I always tell that to the clients. A lot of our clients are starting something new, like their aesthetics practice on their own. And it's climbing Mount Everest to have to do something like that. But even all those setbacks is very cliche, but they do make you stronger and they do propel you like to the next thing.
For sure. For sure. I mean, absolutely. I don't know of any entrepreneurs or business owners, successful ones that don't have the same story. They've got, you know, flops. It's just the way that it goes. It's the growing pains. I'm curious, when you get questions, and if this isn't even relevant, do you get questions from physicians about aesthetics who are not in aesthetics? Like, hey, what's this like? What is this like? How do I get into it? And what's kind of your impression of it? And how do you talk to folks about it?
Yeah, that question does come up quite a lot when we're vetting the physicians interested in working with us, because that's what we always want to suss out, who has the experience we're looking for with aesthetics to match them with people. We're pretty picky about that too, because a lot of physicians will say, oh, I'll help anyone do anything. I said, but have you ever done Botox or filler? No. Okay. Eliminated, right? Like eliminated for this. You can do other things for us, but So then in that conversation is a very common question. Well, wait, I'm eliminated. Like, what do I need to do to do that? I said, well, you have to know how to do it and be trained in how to do it. And so we do, I'm all day pretty much recommending physicians go ahead and get CME, go to definitely on-site sort of real life training where you can do it on a real person, not... Some say, oh, I found this great one online. No, unless the needle's in your hand, that's not going to work. Or it's very cursory. But I recommend it to physicians. Quite a few of our physicians I'm not making this up. They've gone and done the training so they could then be helpful and collaborate for clients. Oh, but then a lot start a side practice doing it themselves because
absolutely
they love it. So
absolutely. Now, there's tons of stories like that. One of the, if she's listening, she'll know who we're talking about. One of the best stories that we have is a physician. I think she was a general practice or a family practice who was doing Botox for migraines. And one of her clients was like, oh, you do Botox? And she's like, yes, for migraines. And this lady just wanted. And so she learned how to do it. And now she's got 5 locations. She's just, you know, her own med spa chain. And she learned how to do it. It's just really, really crazy how it. These are kind of like unintentional, and I use that word in quotes, unintentional entrepreneurs in this business, because it's not unintentional, but they recognize the opportunity and they're not setting out to do it at first and they become business owners.
It's such a great, I feel like the barrier to entry is so low comparatively to so many other medical practice models. I mean, it's not, you don't need that much. someone I was helping in the past, he may even listen to this, in New York City in Manhattan, he rented one of those, it's like co-working space, but for medical practices. So he had one little tiny office with the chair, and now he's doing millions. Like, I think 2 years later, he's going bi-coastal. But he's harnessed social media in a major way, influencers, Instagram, TikTok reels, all the things that I don't quite understand. You know, he runs with it. And I mean, he went to NP school just to do this, right? Mm-hmm. So the day he got his degree, he started injecting.
That's awesome.
And he's crushing it. Yeah. But he also was an entrepreneur in the past, like we were saying, right? Has had some failed other things that it just makes you work harder and get to the next level.
For sure. So, that's awesome. Well, no, I mean, this has been great. I'm so interested and curious about your business. I think this is a really cool thing that you're doing. What are the other, I mean, besides aesthetic, what are the other main areas that you place in?
Our biggest one right now is actually psychiatry. I think with, you know, COVID and just, and such an unmet need in the whole country of good providers to do. And a lot of nurse practitioners now get their PMHNP, often their family med or family nurse practitioners, and then they go on to get that extra training and certification. So that's our biggest one, followed by primary care, urgent care. I wish aesthetics was our number one. It's not, you know, we push it out pretty hard, but it comes in around the fourth spot. So yeah,
well, we'll get you there. I'm glad in some way that psychiatry and urgent care are tops, because we need that help a lot as well. Yeah. So if it was just aesthetics, I'd be like, I guess that says a little something about our country.
Number
one, what advice would you give for, whether it's for MPs or physicians, you know, that are looking to collaborate, and then also how can folks find you, and what's the best way to get a hold of you if they want to find more information?
Thanks. Yeah. Biggest advice. Well, I'll step back and just say, like, business advice wise, I meet so many people that are just afraid to take the leap. So again, I don't want to sound like totally cliched, but you just have to do it. Like, the timing will never be perfect. Like having a baby. Oh, when should I have a baby? It's never good. Like, talk to a lawyer, set up your business, talk to a business mentor, advisor, someone, just get it going. Like, just don't wait. If you wait, the time may pass by. There might be 5 med spas in your town, and then it's, you know, not even.
Yeah. I find that too. I think a lot of the folks that we talk to when we do, you know, our business education events is that's a huge thing, is that they're waiting for the stars to align, for them to be completely prepared, everything. And at some point you've got to do it, and you've got to trip and fall and screw it up and then do it again. And you got to just get going.
Amen. We have a lot of clients. They get a collaborator with us for whatever they're doing, and then it fails, unfortunately, but then they're back in 6 months, and then that thing goes better. So it's like, we see a lot of that. It's starting and stopping, but that's okay. Sometimes that's what it's going to take to do it. As for working with us, the best way would really just be to go to our website. So it's collaboratingdocs.com, or you can just Google collaborating docs and find us. Our calls with our nurse practitioner onboarding team are completely free. So why not just have a conversation, even if you're 2 years out, like thinking of I don't want you to wait 2 years, as we just said, but if you did wait 2 years, you know, we give lots of free advice. We have lots of resources. We can't do it all for you, but we can definitely point you in the right direction of getting going. Physicians, there's now, we just added it recently, actually. We did add a little link at the top of our page for physicians to sign up. I used to keep it hidden, but I thought, this will cut down on all the emails we get every day asking about it. So physicians can access signing up on our site as well.
That's cool. And it's just nurse practitioners, correct? You're not dealing with PAs yet.
At the moment, it's just NPs. I'm sure we will expand. We do get that request an awful lot. Yeah, so I'm sure it's around the corner. We hope it's around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, there's enough to tackle with the NPs though, I assure you.
Yeah.
Well, this is really cool. I appreciate you coming on. I think it's a really cool business. It's needed, and let's keep in touch because I'm sure you're going to continue to grow. I have no doubt that your aesthetic business is going to grow because there's such a need, and the number of nurse practitioners coming into our industry is really outpaces any other cohort, with maybe the exception of general practice physicians, and they need each other. So it's perfect.
Exactly. It's a good symbiotic relationship for them. Yes.
That's right. And I'll give you the last word. Anything else you want to let the folks know about?
If you do go to our website and scroll around for about 10 seconds, something will pop up where you can get it's a really helpful free ebook about how to get your practice going. So at least grab that. Even if you don't want to talk to us, might as well get a little free advice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was a great conversation. I look forward to meeting you sometime in person and seeing how you grow. I think the sky's the limit for what you're doing.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you for joining us this week with the American Med Spa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, AmSpa founder Alex Tiersch was joined by Dr. Annie DePasquale, founder of Collaborating Docs. If you're new with us, click on the subscribe button, then receive new content when it happens. Leave us a rating and a review. See you on our next episode.